right. This morning we're starting a new series called "Tis the Season." I don't know if you know where that comes from. It comes from the song "Deck the Halls." "Tis the season to be jolly." Now, if only that were true. If only you all came in this morning feeling jolly. I'm not even sure if I've ever felt jolly. Like it just doesn't seem like me. But maybe you feel jolly this morning, which I'm really glad. But we are really doing this series because we can change that term. "Tis the season to be," and you could be whatever season you're in right now. "Tis the season to be frustrated." "Tis the season to be excited." "Tis the season to be feeling lonely." We go through seasons. The Bible in Ecclesiastes 3 talks about there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to work, and there's a time to rest. There's a time to go after things, and there's a time to play. There's a time to live and a time to die, a time to fight and a time for peace. There's a time for everything. There's seasons. Even in the Garden of Eden, going back, like way back when there's a perfect environment. Do you know back in that perfect environment, God created seasons? That there is something about having a change of season that God says is beautiful, is amazing. Although sometimes we look at our seasons and we're like, it's not so beautiful. It's not so pretty. It's not so jolly. I don't know what makes you jolly, but I know what makes me not jolly. All right? And I don't know what you'd put in that column of things that make you frustrated. One, taking your car to get its inspection every year, that does not make me excited. That actually makes me fearful. Going to the dentist, not on the top of my jolly list. Paying taxes, not on the top of our list of things that we are excited to do. And I'm, as you can tell, we're talking about the "Tis the Season" of waiting. On top of that list of things I do not like to do, things that do not make me happy, is waiting. I don't know, maybe you all like waiting, but we live in a society where we don't like to wait. And we could talk about driving down to a vacation. We love going on vacation, but if you're anything like me, I get very frustrated and angry when I hit D.C. and I'm driving around the Beltway and I'm like bumper to bumper, people swinging in front of me, and I'm doing all I can to be a pastor at that point. But I'm on vacation, so I guess anything goes at that moment. But I'm trying to be patient and to wait. I get frustrated when I set up an appointment for a certain time to go to the doctor's office. My theology, my belief is an appointment is designed so that I get there at the same time as you get there, and we're going to meet at that same time. You're going to value my time, and I'll show up 10 minutes early. I'll fill out your 10 pieces of paperwork that I've filled out 10 times already. I'll be there on time as long as you can see me on time, but that's not how it works. You end up waiting and wait. And I know I'm venting to you a little bit, but I know that they put you in the dock, in the little hole in the wall, you know, that little closet they call the room. They put me back there early. But sitting in there is worse than sitting in the waiting room. It's more frustrating to me to be like, we're almost there, and then be sitting there with a four-year-old for a couple hours waiting to be seen. Anyway, it's frustrating to wait. This morning, we're entering Christmas, and if you ever looked at this season, this Christmas season, you know that this season is partially a season of waiting. If you asked a four-year-old, if you tell a four-year-old, a three-year-old, Christmas is coming, do you know what happens next? That night, they're like, is Christmas coming? Is Christmas today? Is Christmas tomorrow? When's Christmas? Are we having Christmas? Where are the presents? Where's Santa Claus? And they're like, it's in 25 days. 25 days. The next day, you know what happens, don't you? You do the same thing. You wake up, and they're like, Christmas is today! Or actually, what our daughter kind of does is like, is it my birthday or is it Christmas today? I can't remember, you know? And yet it's not. And so 23, and some of you are waiting too. Some of you are as excited as a four-year-old, but you put on a little happy face doing it. You have the 25 little circles that you pull off every. We hate to wait. I want to tell you a little story. You already know this story. But I want to read two scriptures to you. The one is in Luke chapter 1 and in we'll start in verse 26. I don't know if it'll be on, it's on the screen today. You can see it behind me, and we'll read it. This is what it says, and you've probably heard this scripture before. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll call him Jesus. His name will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never fail." Here's Mary, this teenage girl about to get married, and all of a sudden, an angel shows up, and she's told some incredible, life-changing, life-altering news. You are going to have a baby. Now, there's a lot of questions to that. There's a lot of like, but I'm only 16. I don't know if I can handle that. I'm not married yet. What's my neighborhood going to see? But at the end of the day, there is a joy in that. When you find out news like that, there's something that comes alive in you. There's something that is just the season to be jolly. You are a little excited. I don't know how you have, if you've been through that experience of finding out that your wife or you are pregnant and what it's like. They go into the bathroom and they come out with a stick that you don't want to touch, and they're showing it to you, and you're saying, "What does that mean, honey? What does that show?" And you find out that we are going to have a baby, and you're all excited. You know, that's going to be incredible. You and your spouse are going to have a baby. It's going to be life-changing, life-altering, I know, but there's something that brings joy to you when you find out that news of having a baby. That's where Mary is. This dream. This, like, God saying, "Hey, I got something special for you." In fact, she gets more. She gets like, "Oh, by the way, this baby that you're going to have, he's something special." And now I know all mothers think their kids are something special, but this kid really was something special. He's gonna reign forever in the line of David. He's gonna make a lot of changes in people's life. He's gonna rescue. He's gonna save. He's something special, Mary. Not only are you having a baby, you're having a special baby. There's a lot of joy in that. And I don't know if you can remember those days of when you got that news, but I hope it was a joyful remembrance. Like, wow, we're having a baby. The next chapter over, it says this in Luke chapter 2, we'll start in verse 6. While they were there, they were in Bethlehem at the census, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. You've heard that if you've been to church, Christmas Eve service, or read it on Christmas morning. All of a sudden, it's time, honey. We're having the baby now. The time came. And it's not like, did you get the phrase, her firstborn? You're excited about all your kids, but the first time you go through it, you do walk through it differently. You have your camera ready. You have your bag packed. You're like, I can't wait to get to this moment when my baby is going to be in my arms. And so you have every detail. You have the clothes all in the bag. You have the diapers ready. You have your parents on speed. Well, they should be on speed dial anyway. You're all ready to go. You're like waiting, and you're like, all right, the baby's come. First, and you know what happens after that. Second born, you're like, all right, let's get this over with. Third born, you're like, I don't even bring my camera, honey. We'll just pretend. We'll just Google some pictures, and we'll tell our kids that. You know, it changed. But firstborn, do you get where I'm going? There is joy in the dream, and there's the joy of the fulfillment of the dream. Holding the baby in your arms for the first time. Their eyes, with all the junk in it, they're looking up at you. It's life in your hands. It's your child. It's the one that God has entrusted with you for 18 plus years plus the rest of their life. They are going to be connected to you forever. There's something special about holding your baby for the first time. There's joy in it. There's celebration. There's like telling the news. You know, Do you remember when you got people got pregnant and you're like, you kind of waited a few minutes, a few weeks maybe, and you're like, all right, we got to tell somebody, so you tell some people. You want to tell people, and then you tell people and say, don't say anything, but you know in the back of your mind they're going to say something. But you're okay with that because you want to broadcast it. And you have, nowadays, you have the gender reveal. Not only do we get excited about the birth announcement, now we get excited about that. Guess what, male or female, this is what we're going to show you now. You know, we get excited about those things. But here's where we're at this morning, though. Between getting the dream and holding the baby is a time of waiting. Between like the announcement that she's pregnant and the time that she gives birth, there is 9 months of waiting. There is pickles that she needed to eat. There's like gaining weight. There's the baby kicking your bladder. There's the hormonal, am I allowed to say this? Hormonal stuff that the guys have to deal with. There's like all this like craziness going on in your life. Everything's changing. You have to paint the walls. You have to put up the crib. There's like all this waiting and it's like not necessarily easy. And then you get to the last month and you're like, all right, come on. It's time. I'm ready. I don't want to wait anymore. And then you get the 9 months plus 1 day. I don't know if you've ever experienced that 9 months plus 1 day, but at that point you're done. You're like, just come on. Let's just have the baby. You understand? It's waiting. You don't like to wait. You want to get to the dream. You want to experience the birth. You want to hold the baby. And you're like, come on. And you go on Google and you talk to your friends. So how do I get this started? How do I get this moving? And so you try every way you can, 1,000 ways to get the baby to kind of start moving, and nothing's working. And we're not talking about babies this morning. We're talking about your life, how God gives you a dream. God, you may have a prayer. You may have a picture of what's coming forward. You may have something in you that's like, I cannot wait for this. And you're like, but I want to get there. And you're in this period of waiting, of I'm not there yet. And so it could be a job. You're like, I don't know that God has something better for me. I'm praying for something better. I have a big prayer for my job, but I'm not there yet. I'm in the season of waiting. Maybe God has stirred something in you to go after a dream, to go after a vision, something that's going to make life-altering change in people's lives, and he's stirred something in you. And from the moment he stirred something in you to the moment it comes to fulfillment, maybe weeks, maybe years, maybe decades, maybe never in your lifetime. There's a period of waiting. Maybe it's buying a house. You ever been through that kind of story? A lot of waiting. Get your finances under control. Waiting. A prayer for your kid to come back to know Christ deeper. You're like, man, I wish they could just grasp it. I wish they would come back. I want them to know Christ like I know him. And you're praying and you're praying year after year, week after week. And you're in this period of waiting. Maybe you're waiting to meet someone. You're like, man, if I could only have a boyfriend, if I could only find the right guy, if I could only find the right girl, and you're just waiting. And you do one of three things, one of four things probably when you're waiting. One is this, you tap out. You like, on the trip from the dream to the fulfillment of that dream, you're like, it's not happening, so I give up. You might be picturing a marriage that's going to be like incredible, and you're like, man, if I could only, I know God wants that for me because that's what he says in his word, but I'm not there yet. And in the midst of moving there, you're like, I'm not making enough progress, so I'm tapping out. I give up. God's not doing anything. Number two is you can complain. I can't believe God has me right here. I know he's powerful enough to do something. I know that he can show up. I know he has plans for me. The Bible tells me he has plans. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has planned for those who love him, right? I mean, it's a scripture. It's truth. And we know that God has a plan for us. And in fact, we could even go a little further. We know that his plan is what? Good, pleasing, and perfect. And good is not like it's good. I'm talking about it's like the best plan. His plan is better than any plan that you could ever imagine. It's pleasing. It's going to make you display like this is really, really good. It's perfect. There's no flaws in it. And so you can know that. But when you're in the midst of getting there and you're like, this is not what I pictured to get there, you're like, you just complain about it. You just get frustrated. The third way we try to do that is we try to get there on our own. You ever try to do that? You're like, I know that's how God wants me over there. And so you try every way to get there, and it's not God's way. I'll just give you a biblical way of God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, you're going to be the father of a great nation. Through you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless everyone that blesses you, and through the whole world will be blessed through you. And so he waits. He waits. And he waits. And finally, Sarah says, Abraham, I'm thinking. I have an idea. This isn't working. I'm thinking I'm too old. Why don't you take my maidservant, you sleep with her, and then we can have a baby that way. And I'm thinking, if you're in here, you're thinking, that's a really stupid idea. But they're trying to get there. And so when you're trying to get someplace, you're going to do stupid things. Because you're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to short circuit God's timing to get to the place that you want to be. And if you know the rest of the story, it ended up all being a mess. All of a sudden, Sarah's like, I don't like them anymore. And then Isaac's finally born, is like, they're picking on each other. You know, it's just a mess when we try to do it our way. Let me give you, first of all, why. Why does God make us wait? It's because, really, this. The time between here and there is a time where God tries to produce health in our life. I mean, from the time a baby is conceived, the 9 months is needed to make the mother and the baby healthy so that you can have birth. Does that make sense? The time is a needed time so that the baby and the mother can flourish. That it's a time of development. It's a time of growth. It's a time of preparation. It's a time to get ready. It's actually a critical time. If you don't walk through those 9 months correctly, you can have problems later on. You know, you look at some stories of kids who have drugs in their system and fetal alcohol syndrome and other issues. Isn't it because the preparation wasn't there? Let me just say this. God is doing something bigger in you. This is his big story for you. At the middle of this whole discussion on this waiting is really the idea of, do you trust God's plan for you? Do you believe that God has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan? Because if you believe that God has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan for you, part of that plan is understanding that God's timing is perfect as well. God's timing. That God is not just the God of the dream, he is also the God of the timing of that dream. Let me just paint this picture to you. Because in the Old Testament, there are prophets. These guys who spoke about what was coming, what was going to happen in the future. And the main thing that they said over and over again is, there is someone coming who's going to make all things right. There is someone coming who's going to be the king in the line of David. There is someone coming who's going to be the king of justice. There is someone coming who's going to forgive all our sins. He's going to bring healing to our lives. There is someone coming who's going to make this mess, this junk, he's going to make it right. He's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to be Mighty God. And they have all these terms to describe him. And all the prophets are really saying the same thing. There's someone coming. There's someone coming. There's someone coming. Malachi 4, the last book of the Old Testament, says someone's coming. Someone's coming. And then for 400 years, there is silence. Nothing. No prophet. No voice of God. No scripture. Nothing about that, for instance. 400 years of silence, of God not speaking to his people. Waiting, and this is what it says, Galatians 4:4. Do we have that up there? It says this. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son. His plan was not just to send his son. His plan was, I'm going to send my son at the right time. When the time set had fully come, when everything was in place, when it was just perfect. Let me just flip it for you for a second. I think it's, if we trust that God's plan is perfect, the real question then becomes, what do we do in that time of waiting? Because a lot of people think waiting is this. Waiting is, like, when you're in traffic, you're stuck on the beltway, you sit in your car, and you sit, and you sit, and you wait for the traffic to move. You sit in the doctor's office, you sit. It's a passive thing, right? When you're waiting, it's a passive. The Bible says that waiting is not passive. It's not something that we just wait for. There is something that we need to do in the midst of it. In the midst of our season of waiting, whatever season that you're in, you're waiting for something, there is things that you need to do to kind of get to where God wants you. Let me just walk through a few of these with you. Number one is this. It's this idea of, as we are waiting, we need to hold on to hope. Hope is basically believing that that's going to happen, that God's dream is going to happen, that God's perfect plan is going to happen. Hope is not receiving it yet. Hope is belief that it's going to happen, and you're going to live your life in view of it's going to happen. It's going to take place. When you talk to a four-year-old, three-year-old, there's an anticipation that something's going to happen. Like, they're like, Christmas is coming. When's it coming? Is it today? No, tomorrow. Is it today? No. Is it today? No. Is it today? No. But there will be a day when it comes. They're not going to miss it. It's going to happen. That's what hope is. Hope is believing in the midst of the situation where it doesn't seem possible that it's going to happen. And when we are in this time of, like, going from here to there, and we're struggling, everything seems to be going in the opposite direction, it's not working out, it's falling apart, really, it's like God's not getting us there, we need to hold on to hope that God is who he says he is, his plan is perfect, and his timing is perfect as well. And so we hold on. Maybe another term is this. We need to have faith in the midst of it. This last week we were talking in a class, and faith is this. It's living today what you'll only understand in reverse. Does that make sense? It's living right now what you'll only understand later. Faith is saying, I'm going to live right now. I'm going to follow Christ right now, even though I don't understand everything, not everything's falling into place, not everything's like right, but I believe that when I get up here and I look back, it will make sense someday. It's holding on. Another word that we can use for this is trust. This active trust. Like, I trust that God knows what he's doing. Trust is like, I put it in his hands. I'm going to let him hang on to this. Kids, we used to go to some amusement parks and some like water splash lagoon type places. And when they were young, I would sit in the water. They would stand on the side of the pool. You ever play this game? And you step back and you're like, jump. Jump. And some kids would jump, and some would be like, no, I don't trust you. See, God's saying, jump. Trust me. See, trust is not standing on the pool and saying, I trust you, Dad, but I'm not going to jump. Trust is saying, I may drown because you mess up, but I trust you. Does that make sense? I think God is worthy of our trust. Let me give you another one. The Bible says this. He says, when we are waiting, we need to be in a place of rest, of quietness. Like, usually when we're waiting, we're like getting stirred up. We're getting frustrated. We're getting angry. You know, you're in the car. You want to do some things that you shouldn't do. You're in the doctor's office. You just want to walk out. But then you know that 3 months later, you'll still not have an appointment. So you have to hang in there. You know, you get revved up. You get angry. You get frustrated. And God says this, be still and know that I'm God. Rest in the fact that I know what I'm doing. My plan is perfect. Just stop struggling and rest in it. You may not understand it, your period of waiting, but I do. Just rest. Quiet yourself. before me. Here's another one. Obedience. In the midst of our time of waiting, moving from here to there, whatever the dream is, we continually have to be obedient to the next step. Sometimes it's like we're not getting, God's like telling us to step here. And we're like, we want to go there, God. No, I want you to step here. No, but that's where we want to go. No, I want you to step here. I want to go that way. And this idea of walking this time of waiting is stepping this direction. Sometimes it's even stepping this direction. But God, you said we're going that way. God's like, I will get you there. It's kind of like the Israelites. They're like walking. They get out of Egypt, and they're supposed to be going to the promised land. And God says, Moses, there's a shortcut, but we're not taking the shortcut. And the Bible says this. I want them to take the long road. And in fact, it actually is. I want them to take the dead end road. Why don't we turn toward the Red Sea? Oh, by the way, you'll be trapped. Oh, by the way, there's no path around. Oh, by the way, the most powerful army is behind you. Oh, by the way, this is not looking good. Oh, by the way. And the Israelites like, seriously, Moses, you're an idiot. How can you leave? You got lost in the desert. We're supposed to go that way. Now we're stuck. Now we're going to get killed. We're going to die here of hunger, thirst, and starvation and drowning. I don't know what we're going to have, but this is not going to be good. And God says, stop. Just step in obedience. He got them to the promised land. He did. That's how I read the end of the story. They got there. They messed it up a few times, but they got there. Stepping up. Here's the other one. Sometimes we need to be courageous in that step of obedience. We need to have courage. This is what Psalm 23 says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in a green pasture. He leads me beside quiet water. He restores my soul. You know that part. Doesn't that sound like the shepherd is saying, stop. Stop. Stop fighting me in this. Just rest. And then it goes on to the next part. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. He's still the shepherd. And we have to have courage in the midst of that dark time. I think waiting doesn't sound bad, but it's tough. It's when you want something really bad, you want change in your life. Your whole inside, your whole soul's yearning for this change. Your whole soul's pursuing something, and you don't see it happen. There is something in you that it breaks. And we still have to hang on. Do you notice what it says? It doesn't say, yea, though you walk. He says, I'm not taking you out of the valley of death. I'm not. He's like pulling us through. He's walking through. There's probably a way around it. But God doesn't say he's going to take us around the valley of shadow of death. That's probably what we'd want. He says, I'll walk you through it. At the end of the day, it's like this. If you have a garden, you do this. You plant seeds, and then you wait for the harvest. You never go out to your garden, plant the seed, and expect vegetables right away. Right? I mean, it makes no sense. Scientifically, it makes no sense. There's always a period between the sowing and the reaping. There's a period of waiting. In fact, probably what you could say is the bigger the harvest, the more the sowing, the more the waiting, the longer the waiting. And so that principle is also true theologically or in our walk with Christ. If your dream is big, if you have a big prayer, if God's preparing you for something amazing, incredible, if his plan is really perfect, there's going to, the better the plan, the longer the wait. Because God's preparing you for it. If you got married when you thought you were ready to get married, that would create a lot of chaos. And maybe some of you are like, I've been there. I've done that. But God says, I know you want to someday, but let me prepare you. Let me get you ready so that you can be ready for, maybe it's job, maybe it's financial, maybe it's that prayer. I don't know what season of waiting you're in, but I can tell you that you can still trust in a God who is the God of the perfect plan. He desires your best. He's a Father who answers. And it may be a day, maybe a week, it may be a month, it may be a year. And you know, for Abraham, it was a couple decades, and he never really saw all of it. He only saw one kid. So some dreams never happen for generations. That's the way the Bible reads. But we got to keep moving, keep trusting. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I don't know where we're all at this morning, what we're wrestling with, what we're struggling with. We are very impatient people. We want it now. And yet, God, you withhold sometimes from us. You make us wait. Maybe it builds the anticipation. Maybe you're developing something in our life. Maybe someone else isn't ready for that same thing. But God, what we want to do this morning is we want to say, in the midst of our waiting, this season of waiting, we trust you. That your will is perfect, it's good, and it's pleasing. And so we lay it all before you. And if you have us waiting right now, we wait. We wait patiently for the Lord. Lord, we rest in that you're God. Your word over and over again says, wait on you. And so we do that this morning. We rest in the fact that you're God. In Jesus' name, amen.